Next item is a request for approval of a term sheet for project number 315, known as American Magic. This is a proposed grant award agreement in the amount of $8,500,000, the grantee being the city of Pensacola. This is for improvements at the Port of Pensacola to support the operations of the American Magic racing team. And this term sheet is consistent with the terms that were discussed and approved at the last board meeting.
That's from the Triumph Gulf Coast board meeting that happened last Thursday. And this is, of course, one of two stories, projects that have to do with our area. The other one I'll get to in a second. But the American Magic, this is phase two of three. Like, they have to go through three steps. There's kind of the initial agreement, then there's the term sheet, then there's the final sign-off. And they went unanimously for the second phase, which is that $8.5 million to help develop the Port of Pensacola and facilitate new jobs and, you know, all of the things that go into this, which is, you know, it's got some funding coming in from the state as well. It's a big project, and we'll start to use that underutilized space in, I think it's Warehouse 10, if I remember correctly. Erica Garin-Cagnolo from the city used to be with the airport.
Thank you for your support of this project. We've thoroughly reviewed the term sheet. We have no concerns. Since our last meeting, we received a Governor's Job Growth Grant Fund award, so our match funding is fully in place. And I can tell you that American Magic is anxiously awaiting a text from Barcelona today to know that this project is moving forward. So thank you for your support.
Total cost $49 million. The Triumph is putting in $8.5 million, so the other $40.5 million coming from the city and other sources, but that is well underway. That's not the one that I wanted to focus on, though. There was another one that seems to have slipped under the radar a little bit, because honestly, I was just looking at the agenda and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that one was happening. So this is the second project that is taking place. David Baer is the chair of the board.
Next item is Economic Advisors Report. Dr. Harper.
Dr. Rick Harper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today we have proposal number 293, the UWF Nursing and Respiratory Therapy Program Expansion.
Yeah, this is a big deal because, you know, we've got this shortage of nursing coming, right? In fact, according to the application, the Haas Center at UWF says that in the next 5 years, there's going to be a regional growth rate of about 7.5%. For medical lab technicians, 23% in nursing and 5% in respiratory therapy. Currently, the number of job postings far exceeding the number of educational completions in the region for these occupations. So the jobs are growing faster than we're making people to fill them. Okay, training people to fill them. Discussions being had at the College of Health Advisory Board, where administrators and human resources directors from the major health care providers in Escambia and Santa Rosa County shared that these were priority areas for UWF to focus on. So this project is $10.5 million over the life of the project. Triumph share 39% over the course of 8 years, and the goal is to train medical professionals. And the medical professionals that they intend to put out or tend to produce through this pipeline is 200 registered nurses over the next 8 years, 135 medical lab scientist certificates, 40 respiratory therapist licensing, and 750 CNA certificates all around. So about 1,100 people that they're intending to train by expanding this program. This is Dave Bellar. He is the dean of the health college.
We are very excited about the potential for Triumph to help us with healthcare and workforce needs in our regional area. We have brought some additional value, we think, to this proposal, as we are now planning on expanding nursing programs out to our Emerald Coast campus, which would engage a different area of the panhandle in this particular proposal.
Yeah, so just taking what we already do and doing it in a broader way and in some slightly alternative delivery, you know, night classes and stuff like that. And one of the board members one of the staff, I'm not sure which she was, I did not catch her name, but she made an interesting note about Triumph funding this project is actually good for the state, but it is specifically good for our area because other projects like this that had been proposed and had made it through the budget process got vetoed by DeSantis.
I just wanted to point out the importance of these types of projects now, because Triumph funding will help move our region ahead of the rest of the state, because the governor did veto multiple nursing funding projects across the state. So this will help us move more to the forefront in doing these types of training activities.
So this is a big deal because the funding from Triumph, of course, is not subject to the governor's veto pen. And so, you know, the fact that Triumph can provide funding for again, jobs and economic development in our area, but also start to satisfy this demand, over demand for people in the medical professions. This is good all around. And the fact that, again, it doesn't get cut because it's something that comes from the Triumph Board, not from the governor. So this was first of three stops at Triumph. But since it went through unanimously, it seems like it'd be an easy one, likely to go through the term sheet and go through the final. Plus, it's UWF. I mean, you know, they know what they're doing. So I would expect to hear this result, not just the one time, but two more times after this and go to final completion.
Chair Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Corr?
Yes.
Mr. Henderson?
Yes.
Mr. Merrill?
Yes.
Mr. Trumbull? Mrs. Wise?
Yes.
5-0.
Great. Please show it adopted. Thank you.
There you go. Congratulations, UWF, and also to the poor. 8:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
A little slower, maybe I should say, in Tiger Point in both directions. Eastbound for sure, near it, not very, very slow. And again, not a stop, but just slow near 98 eastbound near the Country Club Road because they're doing some paving and some construction this morning. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want somebody who's going to really watch over that process, know if there are any bumps in the road coming, and if there are any, know how to handle them. Well, how do you get that experience? By doing it a lot. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they have that experience. They had 230 homes sold last year. I mean, it's kind of amazing. But that what that does is that means she knows how to handle the challenges. She knows what's normal. She knows what's abnormal. She knows how to fix it if it's abnormal. And also, she just kind of brings an eye and a knowledge about, especially if you're selling, like, okay, you're thinking about whether to repaint the kitchen, and she'll tell you yes or no. You're thinking about whether to, you know, change the landscaping a little bit for staging purposes. She'll tell you yes or no. And, you know, it might be little things that you might be thinking about, but she's the expert. And she will know how to make your home get the best price that can possibly be gotten out of it. And, as I say, handle whatever concerns come up and get you all the way through to that end result. So buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of southern sides. Every Tuesday is two times Tuesday. Buy the six-piece shrimp dinner and get six more shrimp for free every Tuesday. Wednesday is lunch special day. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where Southern and seafood meet.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in this Friday morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable.
On News Radio 92.3, informative local Van Halen. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. that's right. What was the story? We have some younger people who work for us.
Right. It's just funny. They were showing me how to do like music, and you know, here's that Van. He likes that Van Halen band. I was like, oh, Cool.
She's the best.
She is wonderful. She's the best.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Supreme Court poised to hand down some decisions today that could address student debt relief, affirmative action, and federal elections laws. The court entering its last week of the summer session. They've still got 10 cases pending. The CDC warning that malaria is now spreading locally in the United States. 4 cases have been confirmed in Sarasota County here in Florida. Cases have also been reported in Texas. It's the first documented local transmission of malaria in the U.S. in 20 years. There's reports of layoffs at Ford Motor Company, the automaker, asking some departments to work remotely this week so people can be informed of the situation.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, kind of an interesting note here. The military, the Army, is replacing the Bradley fighting vehicle. And, you know, if you're not familiar with it, you could easily mistake it for a tank, except that it doesn't have a tank gun on it, and it's smaller. But the Bradley fighting vehicle, it basically has 3 personnel that run it, and then it's got a higher-end gun, but again, it's not a tank gun. And then it's mostly supposed to carry 6 personnel. Like, it's an infantry transport that's, you know, much higher, like, defensive ability for them. It's kind of modeled after, my understanding is, and kind of not my area of expertise here, but my son would probably scold me, modeled after the Soviet BMP, which they designed to be able to operate in a sort of, you know, not post-apocalyptic, but like, you know, if there's been a major attack, a nuclear, biological, or chemical attack, to operate in that environment where infantry would be vulnerable while the protected area. So the Army has been looking for the replacement of these vehicles. It's kind of its next generation of that. And they're doing something kind of interesting. I like this. They've picked 2 companies, not just one. So they've picked 2 companies who are going to each put forward as many as 11 prototypes for testing, what they're calling the XM-30, the Mechanized Infantry Combat Vehicle. I'm sure MCV isn't probably going to be its lasting nickname, but they're going to come forward with these different alternatives of embodying their digital proposals, and then they're going to pick, the Army's going to choose toward the end of fiscal 2027, plans to get the first unit deployed to troops by 2029. It's always a slow process, but you get the most competitive final product by having more than one competitor. 50-millimeter cannon, machine guns, anti-tank missiles, that's all going to be part of the complement. Reactive armor, integrated active protection systems, which means that it can, and if you've ever seen, like, I don't know if you've ever watched this, I don't imagine most of you have, but you should look up a video on interactive reactive armor and or active protection systems and watch it, because it's mind-blowing. Yeah, so you'll have an anti-tank missile coming in, and the active rearmor picks up the missile coming in and basically sends out a projectile to encounter the missile and make it explode before it gets to the tank itself. That's how modern armor works. Like, it's genuinely, you would think it's impossible, but it's just kind of cool to watch. Anyway, they're going to cut down on one person, so it's only going to be a 2-man crew instead of a 3-man crew, which they can do due to automation, and, you know, it's going to carry 6 just like the Bradley carries. It'll fit. It's a little bit larger, I guess. The C-17 is only going to be able to carry 2 of them rather than 3 of them. The main question that comes up is whether it's going to be able to become an unmanned vehicle, like able to become a drone type vehicle or an, you know, optionally manned. Well, it's modular. They can expand and change, but it is, yes, in fact, built as an optionally manned fighting vehicle so that down the road they could potentially deploy it without either of those 2 personnel. That's not what they're anticipating at the moment, but that is something that is a possibility down the road. 437-1620, 437-1620. What else do we have going on? The Supreme Court, a couple of interesting rulings, not the big rulings, okay? But one of them, and they're both kind of declined, so they're not opinions per se. Well, actually, one of them might be. The one opinion is Texas and Louisiana had been challenging Biden's immigration policy, you know, his failure to enforce immigration laws, essentially. And the Supreme Court, 8-1, only Alito dissented on this, but they ruled 8-1 that the states didn't have standing in this matter. And again, for those of you who may not be familiar, standing is the very first threshold of any legal challenge, because you have to show that you are harmed, and therefore you have to show that you're in a position to benefit from the ruling. And I did not read the ruling, but the basic analysis of where they came from and a couple of different, you know, it wasn't just one ruling, but Brett Kavanaugh wrote one, Amy Coney Barrett wrote another one. They didn't make standing because, at least one argument is, the states will not benefit from forcing the Biden administration to enforce the laws in the way the states are requesting them to be enforced. That was one problem. And if you can't show benefit, you can't show harm. The other issue is, in Kavanaugh's opinion more was this way, is not wanting to weigh in on the question of forcing the executive, the president, to enforce laws the way that a state wants them to enforce them, because that would put the states in the position of basically second-guessing every enforcement or non-prioritization decision made by the president. And that would be a problem for the sovereignty of the executive, the White House. So, you know, not having read the opinions, I'm not sure where I'd fall on them. But those arguments make sense to me, even though I think it's kind of disgusting that the Biden administration hasn't been doing its job really on the border. Nevertheless, the law is what the law is. And whether it comes out the way you want it, well, you know, a lot of times you lose because of what the law actually says, even though you wish it would turn out a different way. 826 on News Radio 92.3. Also, an 8-1 ruling is a good reminder that most of the work done by the Supreme Court is unanimous or strong majority. The 5-4, 6-3 controversial decisions are a very small minority of the decisions made by the Supreme Court. Most of them are unanimous, which means that most of the time they agree, even about difficult controversial cases that still need Supreme Court adjudication. Candy's got Traffic on the Fives.
And Traffic on the Fives brought to you by Fresh from Florida. 9 Mile not showing any issues now. Mobile Highway also clear through Beulah in Pensacola. Traffic on the Fives again brought to you by Fresh from Florida. Shoppers, local farmers want to let you know that Florida watermelon's in season right now. Learn more at followfreshfromflorida.com, Florida Department of Agriculture. Don't forget, excessive heat warning today. Make sure your pets have plenty of shade and water before you leave the house. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So it's not often that I'm likely to bring to you Chelsea Handler audio. And Candy's doing it on the mic. It's not often that I'm able to bring you Chelsea Handler audio.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. If you're not familiar with her, she's allegedly a comedian. So that's what she puts on her IRS forms. So she did a video the other day that was a response to Alec Baldwin, Elon Musk, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, older men having, you know, babies. And I'll let her speak for herself.
There's a new epidemic sweeping the country. And no, it's not another virus. It's worse. Horny old men who won't stop spreading their seeds. And don't even get me started on these four horny old men who have never met a broken condom they didn't like. They cannot stop procreating. Between the four of those guys, they have 32 children.
I mean, that sounds like a win. You know, be fruitful and multiply is what my book says. And, you know, even if you're not in favor of that book, the evolutionary approach, I mean, 32 is good. That's winning for the DNA, right? The gene pool is expanding. I mean, just watch Idiocracy. Y'all understand evolutionary theory. So Alec Baldwin, Elon Musk, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, between them have 32 kids. I know, same reaction. Like,
that's a lot.
that's 8 apiece.
Do they not have televisions at home?
No, they don't watch movies. They make movies. Or in Elon's case, they make cars and, you know, drills and like spaceships and whatever.
Robert De Niro just had his 7th child at the tender age of 79. Elon Musk clearly isn't as old as Murdoch or De Niro. He's not in his 80s, but because of his personality, he may as well be.
Not appropriate. But no, you say put a TV in the bedroom. That is a great contraceptive, the TV in the bedroom. It's like the most effective contraceptive there ever has been.
Works for me.
No, it's prevented an awful lot of children. That's part of the reason why you have baby booms after blackouts, right? Because what else are we going to do with our time? Well, you know. So, but I think Chelsea Handler may have discovered something even more potent at dissuading reproduction.
So how do we protect the women of the world from horny old men? Don't worry, I have a plan to stop this madness. And I'm offering to put myself up for auction for any available octogenarians. You can find me on eBay or DoorDash. And for 20% off, you can use the code SUGAR. Actually, maybe all these old men should put themselves up for auction. After all, they are antiques. Horny old men, it's never worth the money.
Just What? Oh, man. But yeah, no, maybe nothing else in the whole wide world will dissuade reproduction as much as Chelsea Handler offering herself up. As.
Well, now I'm eyeing you. Now she's pretty.
You did, really? Okay. You did her before,
so?
And now you're, no.
All my friends just love her. I just.
You know what my problem is?
Right, but...
I care about the person, and she's not a person I'd be interested in. That's my problem. Too deep. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. What do you got coming up, David?
I don't know. I can't think right now.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Charges are dropped in Russia against Wagner rebel mercenaries and their leader over a brief rebellion over the weekend. Russian President Vladimir Putin addressing the nation.
An armed rebellion would have been suppressed in any case. The organizers of the rebellion, despite being inadequate, could not fail to understand this. They understood everything.
Meantime, it's unclear where Wagner leader Yevgeny Prigozhin is. Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis trading blows over border policy. Trump promising mass deportation if he's elected again, but DeSantis says...
Well, he said that in 2016 as well and then didn't do it.
Governor DeSantis in Eagle Pass, Texas yesterday. Five Republican presidential candidates, Trump, DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Will Hurd, and Vivek Ramaswamy will campaign today in New Hampshire. President Biden campaigns in Maryland. He's got two receptions. And five teenagers are found dead in a car submerged in a pond in Fort Myers, Florida. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is a hot morning. Already 86 degrees here in Pensacola. We'll get more with Channel 3 and the weather forecast here in just a couple of minutes. But boy, last Wednesday, the first day of summer, definitely we're feeling it this week. The National Weather Service does have heat advisories in effect for our area. Heat index is expected to reach as high as 115 degrees this week. And so far, there have already been reports of fatalities involving children and pets. That's nationwide reports that were left in unattended vehicles.
Check those back seats for children and pets. Please don't leave pets in the car. Even if you're running for just a few minutes, it can get incredibly hot very fast in that car.
And that's PPD's Mike. What he says most often, these types of things happen in retail shopping areas. And again, heat advisories up to 115 degrees this week. There was a congressional field hearing yesterday in Okaloosa County. Congressman Matt Gaetz says the ATF is targeting licensed firearm dealers over minor issues.
I met with a local businessman, mom and pop shop, walked into his library, showed me a picture of his grandfather and a picture of his father, both of whom had run that firearms business. And he said one day he wanted to have his photo and his son's photo on that very same wall, and they are currently enduring administrative hearings to take away their licenses because on three forms, a clerk under county misread county as country and put United States of America instead of Santa Rosa County.
And Gaetz and other lawmakers heard testimony from several FFL dealers, some local to our area, that say they've been victimized by months-long audits that drove away customers and caused employees to worry about their jobs. FDOT says starting today, traffic will be reduced to one lane each way on Highway 29 and Century. Both north and southbound traffic will be shifted to one outside lane each between Hattie's Boulevard and East Cottage. Construction crews there are going to be working on drainage improvements, and those changes expected to be in place for between 30 and 45 days. Governor Ron DeSantis laying out his first formal campaign policy in his presidential run. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
And rolling out an aggressive crackdown to deter illegal border crossings. That includes re-implementing the Remain in Mexico policy for asylum seekers, ending birthright citizenship, and allowing the use of deadly force against people who cut through U.S. border fences.
The governor rolled out his plan in Texas yesterday, and if elected, he says he'll declare a national emergency on day one in office and send military personnel to the southern border. He also promised to build a wall to prevent a flow of migrants into the country. Well, concerns over malaria now have state health officials warning residents to take mosquito precautions. The Department of Health issuing a statewide mosquito-borne illness advisory this week. This comes after four confirmed cases of malaria in Sarasota County. There have also been reported cases of malaria in Texas. Now, everybody that had malaria has since recovered, but the state advising people to use bug spray, avoid areas with mosquitoes, and wear long clothing
if possible. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. And not much happening. We do want to remind you, of course, and I know Brooke will cover off on that, but excessive heat warning today. If you got pets that stay outside before you leave the house, make sure they got plenty of clean water and plenty of shade. Looks like it's clear on the Shemukla Highway, Woodbine, Berry Hill Road, all clear. 90 not showing any slowdowns. And if you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mostly sunny skies today with a small chance of an afternoon shower. Otherwise, very hot, highs near 95 degrees with feels like temperatures in the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. Hot, humid weather continues for your Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 94. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Already extremely hot, especially for this hour. It is 86 in Pensacola, 84 in Gulf Breeze, and 82 in Milton.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
What does it mean to have peace of mind? It doesn't just happen. It's by design. PGT Custom windows and doors are designed to stand up against some of the strongest weather conditions, guard against intruders, and reduce outside noise, adding value to your home. All you have to do is close it, lock it, and forget about it, giving you peace of mind. That's the freedom of PGT.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
Your money now. The market is opening up today. The Dow up 6586 at 33,780.57. The S&P 500 up 1598 at 43,44.80. And the NASDAQ up 7165 at 13,407.43. Our 10-year bond rate down just slightly today, 3.7%. Gold prices up $4 at $1,937.80. And silver prices at $23.11 today. Rent may be declining in the U.S. now for the first time in 3 years. Economists say in cooling inflation and a strong job market is the reason for that. The wave of pandemic pricing made rents soar, and would-be homeowners stayed renters because they were priced out of buying a home. Rents expected to decline now through the remainder of the year and into next. A deadline for Hollywood actors and studios to get a deal done looming over the entertainment world this week. SAG-AFTRA's contract with studios expires at the end of the week. The actor's strike would come as the industry is already facing production delays because of the writer's strike that's now in its ninth week. And Meta launching a new virtual reality subscription service for its headsets. It's called Meta Quest Plus. The company made that announcement yesterday in an effort to generate recurring revenue. Users can pay $7.99 for access to two new games each month. It's 8:39, your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Idiot!
Food fight!
For
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Candy, do you ever have to take pills of any kind whatsoever? Of any kind?
Yes, I do.
Whether it's vitamins or just anything like that, okay? Mm-hmm. So my question for the day is really simple. What do you use to make it easier to swallow them? As in, do you dry swallow? Do you liquid? I assume most reasonable adults liquid swallow. The question is, what is the liquid? And are there any liquids you couldn't do that with? 437-1620, 437-1620. Yes, what did I get to thinking about this the other day? Because I was having my morning cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
And I grabbed my daily one a day, you know, how to be a man vitamin.
No, that's good. You should take vitamins. Absolutely. How to be a man vitamin. That's right.
And and the thought occurred to me, like, I can't drink that with a coffee. That doesn't work at all. You can't do that. You can't, like, put some coffee in your mouth and use that to swig down real fast a big old pill. You know, that doesn't work.
Wouldn't it break it up faster for your
belly? Well, I don't know.
This
is what I'm saying. It, like many things that produce the frivolous topic, my question was, you know, I bet there are people who probably take their morning pills with the coffee as their wash down. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it, but I bet there are, because there's nothing
so weird.
Oh, because
you wouldn't want to swallow hot stuff.
Yeah,
I hear
maybe,
what you're saying.
Right.
Oh.
But there's nothing so weird, you know, like drinking coffee through a straw. I hear some people do. I hear stories, okay? Stories of, you know, travelers to foreign and distant lands who come back with these tales. But, you know, there's nothing so weird. There's not some people who do it. So 437-1620, what drinks or not would you use to swallow your pills, you know, vitamins, whatever you want to call them?
Okay, well, I have to take blood pressure medication. And I didn't know you could be mellow and have high blood pressure. Like, seriously, I thought I wouldn't have high blood. Because, you know, man, I'm pretty laid
you're
back.
You're pretty laid back.
I
You're high strung laid back, though.
We'll have to have this conversation in a minute. 19 minutes, to be specific. But really?
I mean, like, you're intensely laid back.
Well, we'll have this conversation in 18
we'll
and a half minutes.
Later. Okay.
But
so anyway.
I do feel intensely laid back. But no. So I have to take lisinopril, which is a blood pressure med. And then I didn't realize, like, my doctor told me to not drink it with Mountain Dew. I'm like, oh.
Because
yeah, so
sugar,
that explains all
the
blood
caffeine,
pressure. But I just delicious Dr. Pepper Zero.
Oh, that's your preferred. Yeah. So you're a soda drinker.
Oh yeah.
When it comes
have
to pills.
Have we met? When it comes to anything, yeah. That's why whenever we argue about, like, oh, I don't want this money to go here, so they can buy soda. I'm like, I would die. I love soda. But yeah, and they have the zero sugars out now.
Well,
I don't know if you're supposed to. You just take them with water.
But this was the one. I was thinking about it. I'm like, what about carbonated beverages like a soda? And I thought, I think I could do it if I had to.
So what are you taking?
But
with?
There's something about the carbonated experience, the density of the drink. I don't know. There's something about it when I try to think of, like, swigging it, chugging it to get down a pill. That seems wrong to me. It seems very, very odd to me.
You can chug a beer, but you can't chug a Coke.
But I don't do it on purpose. That's not my preferred way.
I don't know.
Taking pills with a beer also seems wrong to me.
I think that's wrong.
Because of the alcohol? Or just because,
I have
know.
A story, but I'll tell you in like
you
17.
Have a story.
Well, no, because I was taking, I'll tell it.
All right.
And it's not bad, but like I was on medication because I couldn't sleep. And you know, and I've drank before. I'm not a drinker now, but
right.
As much. But no, and I just discovered this vodka called Grey Goose. And I was like, wow, wait, okay. You know, and if I can't sleep, like sometimes vodka will help me sleep. And then, but man, you cannot take both at once.
Oh,
you'll
no.
end up walking around and I got divorced.
Are a
yeah, man, that was crazy. You should take water. I've got a bunch of stories like that.
437-1620. So question I suppose on the table is, can you drink, can you use beer, coffee, soft drinks as your pill swallowing liquid? 437-1620. Somebody here says, only water. Water first, then my pills, then another water. Water is bottle only. Oh, well.
Okay, and that fine. Seems you know. Like the safest route.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm a water, by the way.
Well,
you
sure,
asked what I'm
sure.
a water. Only with
okay.
water. Never with anything else. Unless, like, I can't even imagine. You know, I think what it is, I like to enjoy the flavor of a drink if it's not water. Mm-hmm. And so chugging it seems like I'm missing out on the fun.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know, I like to drink the milk and taste it. I like to drink the orange juice and taste it. I like to drink the Coke and or the RC or whatever. And the beer, same thing. And so the idea of using it as, like, wasting it, as chugging down a pill, that's something about that seems off to me. 437-1620, here's our disagreement. Somebody says, 100% take pills with coffee. Does it not burn your throat? Maybe you drink cold coffee. I don't know. Drink it with coffee? Doesn't that seem weird? I like your point, though, about it will dissolve it faster.
I don't know if that's right. I don't know. I've only had coffee six times, and you've been privy to three.
That's fair. Yeah. I've seen what it does to you.
Right,
you're
so
no
I don't
longer
know.
Intensely laid back at that point.
No.
You're just intensely intense.
Yeah.
Somebody here says, water primarily, perhaps iced tea, but coffee is too hot. Also don't like using milk, but has done it on occasion. Yeah. Now, I can drink milk. I guess this is worth knowing about me. I never drink water by the sip. Unless it's like with ice in a cup at a restaurant or something like that, I will take I drink pint glasses typically as my preferred mechanism, and I put it under the tap and I get a full one and then I drink that all in one right down. That's how I drink water.
Oh.
I don't know why, but I don't drink anything else like that. Not everything else is sip to enjoy. So maybe that's part of the issue, is it's the way I drink water. 437-1620. Somebody here says, I dry swallow more often than I should. Bitterness and friction are my native languages. Otherwise, water.
These are the funniest.
It makes you who they are. Whatever will work and is handy. You know, the tap is across across the kitchen, but I've got this here warm beer, so ups a daisy. Down the hatch.
There's a text in here about that, too.
Oh, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Don't use orange juice. It can interfere with some medications. Somebody here says, every day, what is that a picture of? I can't make that out. Is that a Skittles-based energy drink? Is that what that is?
That's an energy drink.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. You've never, of course.
I've never had an energy drink. My son lives on them, though. I don't know. I just feel like I failed to raise him properly.
Dude, you want me to bring one in tomorrow?
No, I'm afraid of them. I don't want to try it. I think it'll mess with me. It's like, I don't want to do drugs.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Not all of them. I'm not doing it. Oh, wait. Somebody
all the
here
cool
says,
middle-aged people are doing it.
Drinks and drugs doesn't sound like a good idea to me. Definitely only water. Also, if you're using beer to take your morning pills, you should probably seek help. I don't know. Seems like a good way to wake up. But then again, if it's you wake up in the morning, oh, I got to take my pills. Well, which one of these beer cans is not empty? Yeah, that's probably a time to seek some help. Somebody here says, pills in the morning with 8 ounces of warm prune juice.
That's what I'm saying. I drink Dr. Pepper. That's carbonated prune juice.
Oh, I just...
You don't like prune juice?
Can we do traffic on the fives and come back to this? Because that one's leaving a taste in my mouth. Go ahead, Candy.
Yeah, pun intended. North Cross Lane at Davis Highway in Pensacola showing an accident. I'm showing injuries, possible roadblock this morning. Again, that's Davis and North Cross Lane. So caution there. I-10 eastbound at mile marker 34 showing an accident. Not showing a roadblock, though. But caution, as you know, wherever you are. And if you see an accident or a slowdown, please text it in if you would. 437-1620. Don't forget heat advisory in effect this morning and this afternoon. And for this week, make sure your pets have plenty of shade and water before you leave the house. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Somebody, we're getting a lot of texts in here on this question of how do you take pills, what do you drink them with, or dry? And this person says, nothing, just pop it in your mouth and swallow it. I think there's an implied be a man in the way this has been phrased. You know, there's nothing worse, though, than getting halfway into a dry pill swallow and finding you can't accomplish
the
task.
You're just stuck there.
And it's just
sitting there halfway down, and you're massage it. I know, you're like a cat.
And you feel like you can work it down with your fingers. It doesn't work that way. Let's see, somebody else here says, defending the energy drink. It's full of vitamins. Okay. I'm a slow coffee drinker. I use it to take my meds every morning, but it's usually cold or lukewarm by the time I get around to it. Now, so that I could see.
Oh,
if it were like room temperature, you know, maybe that'd still be weird to me because I wouldn't be drinking it for pleasure anymore. I gulp the pill with a handful of chewed up sunflower seeds. It goes down smoothly. The what now? You hide the pill in sunflower seeds? Okay.
Like you're a dog. That's really funny.
I'm always, if I haven't tried it, don't knock it, you know? So I'm just saying it's, you know, seems like something you do to get your dog to eat something it doesn't want to eat, but okay. 848 on News Radio 92.3. There you go. That's your frivolous topic of the day. Feel free to bring it up with coworkers, friends, your children, you know, your conversation starters.
Enablers. People that need help, I know.
That's right. I'm Andrew McKay.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy sunsets with your favorite bands. This week, it's Mass Confusion. They'll take the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies in a style all their own. Grab a blanket or a lawn chair, but please, no pets or glass. And we'll see you at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be hot today, super hot today, like temperatures in the mid-90s, but heat index over 110, or at least right around that mark, depending on whether you're north in Escambia and Santa Rosa or south toward the water. Toward the water, hotter, so it's a severe heat warning. It's a severe heat, the terms here don't really matter. It's going to be hot, okay? It's going to be hot in our area today. Much hotter than you expect. And again, just, you know, the basic physics of this is because it's so humid and it's so hot, the water in the air gets heated up, and therefore your body, in order to stay cool, has to fight not air alone, but water, which is carries the temperature better. And so that's why it's worse when it's humid. It is actually true from a biological perspective that dry heat is not as bad for you to handle, and that's why that's the whole point of the heat index, is to say that, you know, wet air at 96 is the equivalent of dry air at 115. That's exactly why the heat index exists. So take it seriously. It's a big deal. And, you know, your body trying to move that air through your lungs, all of these things are a challenge for people. 852 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, the governor was at the border talking about some different issues, and these were non-immigration things that he was talking about. He was asked about his presidential plans, for example, with regards to the Keystone XL pipeline.
Do you have plans to reinstate the Keystone pipeline and put those people back in business, the jobs, the oil and gas industry? What's your plans?
100%, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a no-brainer. And, you know, the thing is, did you see they just had that crash in Montana? I think it was in Montana. The pipelines are the safest way to transport. I mean, it's better for the environment to have a pipeline than to do it on surface, 100%.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. You know, pipelines will also sometimes have issues, but the idea that trains, you know, we've seen a lot of train derailments lately, something that I don't know that it's really a greater number than we've seen in the past, but it's been the news story, and so there's the perception that it's happening more. But certainly, you know, trains have problems, like that bridge that failed underneath the train that was carrying, what, sulfur and asphalt or something that they're, you know, into the river now.
And so Keystone, we want to permit a lot of pipelines. I mean, I think it's critical infrastructure. I think it's good for the economy, and I think it's good for our national security. We'll open up all the oil and gas in the United States for development because it's important.
He was asked also about the renaming of Fort Hood, because they were in Texas, was asked about renaming of Fort Hood. And his answer was not so much about Fort Hood, but about Fort Bragg, now called Fort Liberty. You know, don't call it Fort Bragg.
So I haven't seen what happened with Fort Hood, but here's what I said with respect to Fort Bragg, is that's an iconic base in this country. I didn't even know it was a Civil War general. I don't think most people knew it was a Civil War general. You just know you've been to Bragg, right? And they're changing it for political correctness reasons. And so I don't believe in doing it for political correctness reasons. And that's just kind of how we're going to roll on it.
Yeah, the question, though, of putting it back to Bragg, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. Bragg should never have had a base name for him, okay? Clearly, terrible person to name a base after. But as he said, how many people even knew that was a Confederate general until somebody made a deal out of it? Right? Or not even, was he even a general now? I can't remember. But, you know, it became a deal only for that. But nobody cared before that. It's like going out of your way to discover that a thing is insulting. Kind of like if, you know, imagine, it's maybe hard to wrap your brain around, but imagine if nobody knew what the Confederate flag looked like. Like if they didn't associate it with that. Like, you know, we had the City of Five Flags, right? If, you know, the French or the Spanish flag that you maybe know as a resident of Pensacola, but the average American in Iowa, if you showed them a French flag, they would like, I don't know what that is. The Spanish, I don't know what that is. Well, imagine if that were the level of awareness that most people had of the Confederate flag. It was just a bunch of pretty colors, you know, red, white, and blue, and they didn't know any better. And then somebody said, oh, hey, by the way, you know what that flag's from? You know, like, if it didn't have any significance to people, then what's the value of proving to the world that you can go find a pretense to change a name that nobody cared about until yesterday? Because you shouldn't really care. It doesn't really matter. But on the other hand, it does have this meaning in history, in our culture, and in military culture, and references, and all of that. And eradicating it doesn't really solve a problem, but does create problems because you disrupt continuity. And certainly in the military, historical continuity and the, you know, the belief that we're in a long line of unbroken chain of succession from these things in the past that trained there to who we are today. You know, all of that stuff has been just thrown overboard in the modern. The decisions that are being put in by the brass about, for example, these renamings. 855 News Radio 92.3 Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Highway 98, Williams Creek Drive in Navarre, showing an accident. No roadblock this morning. That's before the turnoff to 87. I-10 eastbound at mile marker 34, showing an accident, not showing a roadblock, but then another accident. This is on Davis, and it's blocked. Davis is southbound, blocked near Olive, and blocked southbound past HCA West Florida Hospital, almost to Johnson. So keep that in mind when you're making your way around this morning. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. Pensacola, stay outside. Heat warning today. Make sure they got plenty of shade, plenty of water before you leave the house. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
There you go. Thanks so much, Candy. You know, President Biden had Modi from India at the White House last week. And there was a moment when they were both standing outside and the anthem was going to play. And so they were standing there in sort of a reverent moment. And kind of here's what it sounded like. I'll tell you what happened. So the president hears this warm-up music, and he puts his hand up over his heart in preparation for the national anthem, to be respectful. Oh, but wait, that's not the United States anthem. And so he gradually moves his hand down across his chest, to his belly, to his waist, to his side again. Because... oops, wrong anthem. Now, you know, we're in a place where everything dumb the president does makes him look like he's a fool and people will get on him for it. I think this is a mistake that could happen to anybody. I think, you know, you're sort of conditioned to certain cues, and when you hear the warm-up music and you know there's an anthem coming, you're like, oh yeah, time to do that. And then you'd hear and you're like, oh, and then what do? You can't like, oh no, you can't like suddenly rush it. So you just kind of, you know, gently sneak it down, hoping that nobody's going to notice. I mean, I don't know what I would have done in this circumstance. Although I would say I'd probably wait until after I hear it to put my hand up. Or they make the announcement, you know, whatever. But it was kind of a funny moment. I don't think it's a big one to jump on him for. And you gotta have those two. Like you gotta be able to say, this is a problem. This is really an indication of something. And this is just. People doing a lot of different things make mistakes. I know I make mistakes on the air all the time, and I'm glad I don't have talk show hosts picking me apart for it. So I'd try to be a little bit fair.
Not yet.
Yeah, but soon. I mean, you never know. All right, it's 8:58, time for...
Future news.
Future news. Candy and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. So Bud Light, after doing its best to pretend like nothing ever happened, has now full-blown sponsored a very risque float in the Toronto Gay Pride Parade over the weekend. Are they ever going to get out of this hole? I think not. I think the answer is no. Sorry for the phraseology.
I know.
Will the nursing program at UWF get final approval from Triumph and put 1,100 new various occupations in the healthcare-related fields in the next 8 years?
What a wonderful thing. Yeah, we certainly need it.
I love it. This
sure.
is really good
CNAs
stuff.
CNAs and everything.
No,
sure.
I totally agree. It's
absolutely.
Great. Will Pence get his way and get a 15-week limit on abortion, basically, for the entire United States over the next, like, I don't know, 5 years, three to five years?
Well, he's not president.
No, he's not, but if he does.
Yeah.
I think if he does.
Listen on air at 92.3.